minute. So perhaps I could encourage you to turn to it in the Pew Bibles on page 555 and maybe leave it open or find a bookmark or something. We'll come back to it later. You'll see a number of sort of images in the psalm. It might be interesting to think about, you know, how consistent are the metaphors or whatever. Maybe if you were making this into a film, what would the scenes be? Or if it were a play, what would the acts and scenes be? There is a sort of switch in the psalm. We're very familiar with it, so perhaps we don't notice it, but it's a little bit sort of strange. The imagery changes. So there's just something to look out for as Vivian reads this psalm to us, please. Thank you.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you to you, Vivian. And we're going to sing a version of that psalm now.
Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. And let's just pray up here for us. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that we might hear in it the voice of Jesus, and not only hear his voice, but take it to heart and respond to it as we should. In the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I've just done a sort of all-age service on this at Bodle Street, and I'm not sure that he really adds a lot to proceedings, but as I happen to have, I don't know what his name is, Sean or Lambert or Ewan or Ramsey or Barbara, they laugh heartily at that. In the car with me, I thought we would just have him here. The pulpit probably wasn't really built for bringing a sheep into it. But you might like to turn back in your Bibles to Psalm 23, page 555. Precious words to countless generations, probably words that some of us will know off by heart, thanks to the hymn. I guess many words that have been read to people, perhaps on their sickbed, on their deathbed, words often used at funerals. I wonder how many soldiers in the First or Second World War might have comforted themselves with these verses. Perhaps chaplains would have read this psalm to the wounded. It begins with Lord. Lord in capital letters there is the first word in the psalm. And you may know that where our English editors have put that word Lord in capital letters, it signifies God's personal name, Yahweh or Jehovah, that name which was revealed to Moses at the burning bush, the I am who I am, or I will be who I will be, that great God who is in personal relationship with his people, the God of the Bible who saves and acts. And that's important in this psalm, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. It's a psalm about personal trust. My shepherd. Not just a shepherd or even the shepherd, but my personal shepherd whom I trust to take care of me, to lead me, to protect me, to provide for me. In biblical terms, being one of Jesus' sheep isn't automatic. Just think of the other options. Jesus has his sheep, maybe there in the sheepfold at night, but there can be sheep that have wandered off. Remember Jesus' parable of the lost sheep, the 99 are here, but Jesus is the shepherd who comes to save that wandering sheep, to go in search of it. And when he finds it, he picks it up and puts it on his shoulders and carries us home. Well, here we are in the church. Wonderful. We have a spiritual elite of the parish. But maybe there are ways in which some of us have wandered off from Jesus in our hearts, in some of our actions. Jesus would call us home. He came to save the lost sheep. But it's not only sheep in the Bible, is it? Think of Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats. You don't often see this today in England, do you? But I think in those days they would have kept sheep and goats often together in the same flock, and they might even have been quite hard to distinguish from one another. But, you know, occasionally when slaughter day came or something, it might be necessary to separate out the sheep and the goats. And of course Jesus tells a parable about that. We could even be in the flock, we could be in the church building, and yet be a goat, and not a sheep. Jesus says his sheep will hear his voice and follow him and respond to him. Even worse, of course, in the Bible, we could be a wolf. Those who come perhaps in sheep's clothing but wish to prey on the flock. The Lord is my shepherd. Are you? Do you want to be Jesus' sheep? Do you hear his voice and follow him? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A verse which countless school children have probably misunderstood. But why wouldn't you want Jesus as your shepherd? If he's a good shepherd, surely you'd want him. But of course, it doesn't mean that, does it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Not actually that there might not be all sorts of things that we desire and want. Often our desires are disordered and misguided. But what it means is I shall not be left in need. Or at least I shall not be left in need of that which I ultimately need. I mean, surely there have been Christians who've been poor, maybe Christians who've starved to death, Christians who have physically, literally, been in want. But what the psalmist is saying is, well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I can trust him. He'll bring me safe to glory, to heaven and the new creation. It is, I suppose, possible that even as a Christian I might starve to death in poverty, in want, but I have all that I ultimately need. I am secure. I might face all sorts of trials and difficulties, and life might get really, really horrible. It would have been pretty terrible for many believers in the First and Second World War, wouldn't it? And yet the psalmist would say, well, I'm ultimately safe if I'm trusting Jesus, because Jesus and God the Father have me in their hand. And Jesus says, no one will ever snatch my sheep out of my hand. Jesus knows how to keep his people. He can lead and protect and provide. We shall not be in want. It sounds fantastically lovely in the first part of the psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Idyllic. Sunny Sussex day, isn't it? Where there has also been some rain and it's all verdant and there's plenty of food and so on. Rich, abundant grass. Perhaps it's springtime. He leads me by quiet waters. Literally waters of rest. Perhaps ideas of home and security and quiet. He restores my soul. That word restores, it's the word for return. He brings me back to vigorous life. Can be used for repentance. He calls me back to himself when I've wandered off. That water which speaks of cleansing and life and of the Spirit of God. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, the right paths, the correct way to go, the way that leads to food and safety or whatever, but also the morally right path, the pathways of integrity and goodness and justice, the paths that conform to his righteous nature and his righteous goals. You know that hymn, Father, hear the prayer we offer, not for ease that prayer shall be. Well, I could forgive you if you pray for ease sometimes, but I guess it's not our ultimate or only aim, is it? You know, Lord, give me a fantastic, luxurious life. Doesn't sound like a very biblical prayer, does it? But for strength, that we may ever live courageously. Not forever in green pastures do we ask our way to be, but the steep and rugged pathway may we tread rejoicingly. Maybe I could go somewhere tough and difficult, and even not be in want, and perhaps, even while I weep, manage to rejoice. Not forever by still waters would I idly rest and stay, but would smite the living fountains from the rocks along the way. Recalling Israel's journey in the wilderness where they get water from the rock and God provides for them. And actually lots of this psalm echoes some of the language of the Exodus and the wilderness journeys. I can bore you with that over coffee if you like. Be my strength in hours of weakness. In our wanderings, be our guide. Through endeavour, failure, danger, Father, be thou at my side. And that too gets to something of the meaning of this psalm, doesn't it? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkest valley, think of those situations of war, that darkest hour in our national life, I will fear no evil. That word for evil is a very wide-ranging word. It can mean something you don't like the taste of. You know, the evil of broccoli or something like that. Or it can take in that which is really terrible, great moral evil. I will fear nothing bad or wrong, no harm. Why? Because you are with me. Notice the person has changed, if you're a grammarian. It's all third person, isn't it, to begin with? Just like Gal. The Lord is my shepherd, blah, 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 he, third person. Then it turns to the second person, doesn't it? You! Much more personal and intimate. Phew! Michael Gove would be proud of me. I think that's right, isn't it? Nobody's nodding. Yes, good. Okay, good. Someone's confident. Where is Penny when you need her? Are you there, Penny? Good. Excellent. Good. Fine. Whew, right. Okay. You are with me. The shepherd is also our companion. So he leads us, but there he is also by my side, and that makes all the difference. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, now, we do not have any rods in the rectory, but we do have a rolling pin. It means a cudgel or a truncheon or something like that. It is for bopping things with. So I don't know whether he ever boxed a sheep, but that's probably not the idea here because he thinks of it as a comfort. So if there is a wolf or a bear or a lion or maybe a fox or an eagle or something, it's going to get a bop. You have got your rod and it's a comfort to me. But not only that, you are the good shepherd who is thoroughly equipped. You also have a staff, maybe even a better staff than this. It basically comes from the word to lean on. So, you know, the shepherd would sort of go ahead and lead the sheep and call them. There's lots of, you know, walking to get to good pasture. He was the thoroughly equipped shepherd, the good shepherd who had both the rod and the staff. He is the shepherd we need. And then, did you notice the switch of image? I suppose the whole psalm is interested in food, maybe, but there's a switch in verse 5, isn't there? Suddenly, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What is this? It's like a VE Day party, isn't it? Street party. It's a victory celebration. The enemies are there, but presumably they're defeated enemies. You anoint my head with oil as with triumph. My cup is saturated. It overflows. I have abundance, plenty. Just like Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, overflowing life. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. God's covenant mercy will chase after us. All sorts of things which we chase after. We pursue happiness and fulfillment and recognition, maybe. Maybe there are enemies who pursue us. But God's love is faster and stronger and greater. And God himself pursues us. Jesus, the good shepherd, seeks us. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a psalm which bursts the bounds of the life of Jesus, of David rather, and points us to Jesus. We go through that dark valley of death, and we find that there is a way out, a way through. It's a tunnel which leads to resurrection and to life. Jesus is the good shepherd. He also would have said and sung this psalm. He was the faithful sheep, the human being, who was also God, who trusted himself to his Father, was always faithful to him, never wandered off, who had authority to lay down his life and to take it up again, and who calls us today to come and follow him. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. I hope I haven't spoiled it too much by rambling on about it. Let's be quiet, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Jesus, our good shepherd, whatever trials or difficulties we face, if we're going through a dark valley, perhaps if we're facing even death, we pray that we might know your guidance, your presence, your comfort, your help. Make us attentive to your voice and lift our eyes to that great final day which we see pictured in this victory banquet where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We pray that the psalmist's trust and confidence might be ours as it was the Lord Jesus's, that we might follow in his steps. And we pray that this victory meal, which we're about to celebrate together, might be a foretaste of the joys of heaven and the new creation, as our risen Lord Jesus is our host and our food. In his name we pray. Amen.